In a moment, all the infinite, eternal agonies of hell compressed and laid upon the person of the Lord Jesus, born by him, because he was God in the flesh. And that's why we always insist that he was a mediator that was God in the flesh. He was the God-man. He was not just human. He was not just the best of men. He was not just the wisest of men. But he was the eternal second person of the Trinity in human form.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and today we're continuing with the evidences of the supernatural nature of Jesus' death. We have a hymn today, Were You There? If you had been there at Calvary, what a sight you would have seen. Indeed, for a time, the thick darkness would have blotted out the normal views of Calvary. You'd have been there listening in to the horrible event of Jesus giving up his life while the Father punished him for our sin. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, we read here of the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. These events that surround the cross are absolutely staggering. There was the darkness, the cry of our Lord Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the moment that Jesus gave up his life on that cross, there was a whole sequence of events that just erupted. The veil in the temple, that thick, long veil, torn from top to bottom by the power of God. Then the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and they came out of the graves later after Jesus' resurrection, we're told. And then the centurion, when he saw these events, well, he was convinced that truly this was the Son of God. I hope that today, that as you join with us as we let the Bible speak on these miraculous events surrounding the cross, that the Lord will minister to your heart and draw you to consider the wonder that took place that day when Jesus died for us. Stay tuned as from the pulpit of our church we let the Bible speak on supernatural events around the cross.
Thank you.
But we know that God planned the cross to save our souls. God prepared a body for his Son that he would go to the cross. And here we read in the scriptures that it pleased the Father to bruise him. Now let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, 32. Romans 8, verse 32. And it says, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And here is the word, spared not his own Son. Now you would understand the word spare means to go leniently. If someone says, spare the rod, it would mean either to not use it or to use it very gently, very lightly. Now, when the Father punished his Son, he did not spare him. He did not hold back the punishment. He insisted that his Son, our Savior, endured all the wrath, all the punishment, all the pain, all the suffering required in our redemption. And of course, it was infinite. And what transpired between God the Father and God the Son was justice, divine justice, infinite justice, because one sin demands eternal hell. And so you could safely say that there on the cross during those 3 hours between the Father and the Son, the eternal sufferings of hell were absorbed, received, endured by our Savior, that we would endure none and never see hell. Hallelujah. What a salvation. What redemption. Now, in that Romans 8 and verse 32, you'll see here it says, he delivered him up for us all. Wonderful. Redemption, full and free. God the Father spared not the Son that he would spare us. Now, can you think of the person who dies without the Savior? What will hell be like for the person who dies without the Savior? What will eternity in hellfire be like, where God will spare not and the whole punishment of sin will fall upon his people? Now, I've been reading a book by Herman Hoeksema, and I've been reading some excerpts of it on our radio broadcast. And I want to give you just a little excerpt of his very close theological writing on the meaning of Jesus' death during these hours of suffering at the hand of God. Let me read this to you. In the hour of judgment, the Son of Man suffers the agonies of hell in utter desolation. And because this Son of Man, even in this darkest hour of his suffering, is still obedient and still bears the terrible wrath of God voluntarily, and because this Son of Man is also the eternal Son of God, who is able to taste the depth of eternal death in a moment, therefore, eternities of desolation are pressed into that one moment of his agony. That wrath of God is fully borne by him. The justice of God is satisfied. The darkness passes, and presently he rises out of the depths victoriously and announces, "It is finished." Now, I hope you get the whole gist of what Herman Hoeksema is saying there. In a moment, all the infinite, eternal agonies of hell compressed and laid upon the person of the Lord Jesus, born by him, because he was God in the flesh. And that's why we always insist that he was a mediator that was God in the flesh. He was the God-man. He was not just human. He was not just the best of men. He was not just the wisest of men. But he was the eternal second person of the Trinity in human form, enduring the wrath, the justice of God. And he bore it away in that one act of death. Now, have you believed in this work of atonement? This is the Christian's boast. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do glory. This is our boast. This is the good news that we want to tell the world about. And I'm glad you're here today that I may share with you that there is one who on the cross bore every one of your sins. And if you come to him as a sinner and you come with all your guilt and all the shame and all the debt of your sin, and you say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need to be delivered from wrath. This one has all the infinite power and worth to save you. What a witness it was in all the land, borne by the testimony of this darkness. Now, can you think of what the people thought during those 3 hours of darkness? What did Pilate think? What do you think his wife said to him when that 3 hours of darkness fell when Jesus was nailed to the cross? Can you think of the fear and the horror that must have entered their minds? Think of those who were in the Sanhedrin who plotted and schemed the whole death of the Lord Jesus. What did they think? They must have asked, what have we done? These Romans, what did they think? They came to the conclusion, truly this was the Son of God. Now, what do you think? What do you think today? Was the death of Jesus just the death of another man? One of the many that were crucified by the Romans? Or was this truly a supernatural, wondrous, extraordinary event? Now, the second evidence, and we'll come to this here in Matthew 27, is in verse 51, is the witness of the rent veil. Matthew 27 and verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, while this happened in the Jewish temple, the news of it obviously traveled very fast. And it was another sign of the supernatural. Firstly, let's think about the veil's function in the temple. This temple was built on the same pattern as the Old Testament tabernacle. And there were three compartments. There was the outer court. There was the Holy of Holies, where the priests entered in with their bread, the showbread. There was the lamp. And there was the incense, the prayers of the priests, where Simeon would have been when he offered incense to God. And then there was the veil that hung down, closing off a separate compartment at the rear of the tabernacle or the temple. And there was the cherubim, the golden cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant. And only once per year the high priest went into that Holy of Holies. And this veil was a door shutting that compartment. Man was shut out from the inner presence of a holy God. And that was fundamental to the whole institution of Judaism. And we are told here that the moment that Jesus offered up his life on the cross, that veil supernaturally, without the hand of man, was ripped, torn from top to bottom. It was just physically ripped apart. And the way into the very presence of the living God was highly visible. Now, can you imagine the many, many priests that would have been there? This is Passover now. This is the biggest day of Jewish calendar. This is the day when thousands of lambs would be offered up on that outer court. And what is God saying right there on that very day? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's Passover. And you know how every family takes a lamb, and it is to be killed and eaten, roasted, eaten in the Passover. That was the whole event. Now, on that day at that time, in this evening sacrifice that was to be made at the temple, here is this veil torn asunder. And God speaks volumes. The whole Jewish economy was at an end. The Lord Jesus was the antitype to fulfill all the types. He was the Lamb of God. Although blood of beasts could never take away sins, but the blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus was the absolute 100% fulfillment of every shadow, type, picture in the Old Testament ceremonial law. And it was over. Temple worship was over. Animal sacrifice was over. Levitical worship was over. The way of demonstrating faith to God was no longer by animal blood and sacrifice, but by the death of the Lord Jesus. Now you would say, if that's true, the Bible is going to have plenty to say about it. And so it does. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews and to chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Hebrews, of course, deals very much about the tabernacle and temple and teaches us a lot of why Jesus is the better sacrifice, the better Savior. And here in this passage, Hebrews 10, 19, we have a very, very clear doctrine for us. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Now, the holiest, of course, was that compartment which was separated by the veil. And having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, every high priest knew that he could not enter in there without blood, and that without the blood of a sacrifice, he would die. And the doctrine of the New Testament and the author of this whole book, he teaches us that there is a way now into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The body of Jesus dying on the cross, offered up as a sacrifice. Of course, the body of Jesus was a veil. This was the Son of God that was manifest in the flesh. The flesh to Jesus was just the veil. And through the death of our Lord Jesus, when he offered up that body on the cross, he opened up this new way. And he's the high priest, verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Now, the veil stated that man was shut out. The veil said that you cannot come to God and live. But through the death of Jesus, you are invited to draw near and rejoice in fellowship with God. Now, this is the gospel. And here is one of the great evidences of the supernatural nature of the death of the Lord Jesus. That when our Lord was crying out on the cross, yielding up his spirit to the Father, down the hill, through the gate into the city of Jerusalem, right into the temple area, where there were thousands on this Passover event, and there were hundreds of priests. And this unseen hand of God, rending, opening up, ripping apart that veil, exposing the Shekinah glory of God. Hebrews says, this new and living way, we are no longer shut out. We are invited to draw near. And here, of course, is the whole gospel picture, the whole way of mercy, the way of peace with God, the way of fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus. Now, the meaning of the rent veil still stands today. It demands your faith in the power of Jesus' death. And the way that you may draw near to God, the way that you may get right with God, is by accepting this supernatural statement, God has spoken. And you accept that statement. Now, God couldn't have spoken any louder, could he? What could God have done to evidence the power of Jesus' death beyond this? Now, while there were thousands of crucifixions, there was only one man who died coinciding with that very rending of the veil. Even the other two thieves, they died much later. You remember the Roman soldiers had to come and break their legs? They died at a later point. Jesus was already dead, because no man took his life from him. He offered up his spirit to the Father in power, in priestly power, in saving power. And then down in the tabernacle, God was speaking by this supernatural evidence, this supernatural event. And so we can rejoice that John 14:6 is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's one of the most contentious statements in world religion. How can one man say, I'm the way? How can one man say, without me, no man comes to the Father? Well, that was all declared in the rending of the veil, in the parting of that drape, and the opening up into the very presence of God. And if you're a Christian today, if you're a believer, if the Lord Jesus is your Savior, you have direct access to God. You may now pray, Father, Father, and you come in Jesus' name, and the way into God's presence is opened up for you. Now, can you think of someone trying to pray without Jesus' name? Trying to find fellowship with God without the Savior. It's impossible. Jesus is the only way. Now, I've taken my time to walk through these events and look at these supernatural things. We've looked at the darkness and the rent veil. There's still the earthquake, and there's still those saints that came out of the graves after the resurrection. Phenomenal evidences of the death of the Lord Jesus. So come back next week. Come back next Sunday morning. We'll take a further look at these supernatural evidences of the supernatural death of the Son of God. And then we will know that this was no ordinary death. This was no mere man on the middle cross at Calvary. And this conclusion of the Roman centurion was right. Truly, this was the Son of God.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I appreciate you joining with us on the program here today, and I want to thank you for listening in, hearing the word, and I trust that you have heard today words of salvation for your own soul. But it's not enough to hear. We need to believe, and we need to receive the Lord Jesus into our hearts. I want to offer this little booklet, A New Beginning, that this has been a tremendous blessing to so many people. We'd love to get it out to you wherever you are. And if you write us, call us, send us an email, or come along to our church, we'll be happy to get you one of these booklets called A New Beginning. One chapter or section in the little booklet is How May You Receive Christ as Your Savior? And the emphasis is on you. You need a Savior. Firstly, you need to recognize your need to be saved. Then acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He alone is able to save. Then accept and act upon the promises of the gospel. Now that will involve confession of sin, of trusting in the death of the Lord Jesus upon that cross, and of course for repentance from all known open sin. And so I trust that you will consider your need, and if this booklet can be of help to you, we'd be delighted to send it to you free of charge. Just send us an email or give us a call, or as I say, come along to our church. We'd be delighted to have you as you join with us Sunday by Sunday at our church services, 10:30 and 6 p.m., 9:30 for the Sunday school hour for boys and girls and for adults too. We have Sunday school for all ages. So again, thank you for joining with us, and I trust the Lord will bless you through His Word. So we invite you to be a part of the program here day by day and of our Free Presbyterian Church. All the announcements are coming up. Stay tuned as we come to them right now. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.